What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
I'm Betty White. Listening to the Philip D. Blackman Show makes me moist. Grab your tissues and enjoy the show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, hello, hello. Happy Monday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show, this show that has become more addicting than Twilight and Breaking Bad, The Hunger Games, and even street cocaine. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Philip D. Blackman. I'm your host, half man, half amazing, the greatest thing since sliced bacon. And as you can see, the assassins have failed once again because I'm alive and well, living the only life that your host, Philip D. Blackman, can have. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Happy Monday and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. So what really matters in your life? You know, when you were a child, did anyone tell you? I mean, if it didn't, it should have. But knowing what really matters. Knowing what really matters in your life, you know. It helps you create the blueprint for your future. You know, life in itself, I guess we all would argue at some point that life is, for the most part, generally important. I mean, don't you agree? I mean, but what is it, I guess, that makes life important? It's those positive incidents that are actually contained in our life. There's a whole lot of them. And while they glitter, you know, people tend to get carried away from the most important things. You know, what's considered important in life, it may be subject to an instant peculiar circumstance. We find ourselves in those situations a lot. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're actually going to explore this idea and try to offer some kind of insight to help you, maybe find your footing. You know, if you find yourself that maybe you're slipping just a little bit, we're going to try to help you find your footing by asking the right questions first. But before we do, ladies and gentlemen, I want to go ahead and throw it out there that, hey, man, we're live all over social media. We have our Facebook platform at the Philip D. Blackman Show, as well as over here on YouTube. Same. As well as LinkedIn. Guys, we're everywhere, I'm telling you. We're on Twitter, Twitch, at the PDB Show. Guys, we are broadcasting through Pulse Talk Radio. We're broadcasting, Jesus Christ, we're covering all oceans, we're covering all across the planet, guys. Thank you so much for carving out a piece of your Monday. Now, if you want to comment or you want to participate in the show in any way, social media are great options. If you want to put your comment up there, really all I got to do is just hit that button and bring your comment up, and we can talk about whatever it is that you have to weigh into your two pennies, to quote my wife. But guys, if you want to call the show, 409-245-9753 is the number. Again, from listeners across the airwaves, that is 409-245-9753. So again, to all militias across the nation and most importantly around the globe, because we are international, thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I appreciate you joining me for this episode number 288, Mental Health Monday, Life and What Matters Most. Man, that's a question we think about, right? You know, what is it that truly matters? And you know, as you saw in the opening slide, you know, I always tell people that whatever it is in this world that makes you happy, do that. Right. That's kind of the idea. But for some reason, we get stuck behind that FEAR, that false evidence appearing real. And we call it fear and we subscribe to it. And therefore, we're truly just a bunch of ghosts living our own life. Now, guys, before we get the show started, as always, for my first time listeners, you know, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show and we call it End of Watch. Now, this is our way of honoring our fallen men and women, the law enforcement community. Good Lord, we appreciate everything they do, all their sacrifice. You know, last year in 2021, we had 640 officers die in the line of duty. And as of this show, as of right now, we've lost 180 for the year of 2022, which means we've picked up one since the Friday show. Now, we get all of our numbers. If you're ever interested, how do we come up with these? Man, just go check out the Officer Down Memorial page. Now, when you go to that website, you're actually going to see a quote that is so profound. And the quote is, when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer, it's an entire nation. Man, how impactful. Or it's how it should be. You know, we honor all of our officers who serve, and especially those who've given their life in service to their community and their country. And we highlight a different officer every week, beginning with our Monday show. This week, friends, we're starting off with a new officer out of Richmond, Indiana, Police Officer Sierra Burton, in this opening segment, End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Officer Sierra Burton, 28, of the Richmond Police Department in Indiana, who died on September 18, 2022, after succumbing to injuries sustained while conducting a traffic stop on August 10th. Officer Burton served her department honorably and faithfully for 4 years. Mayor Dave Snow said in a statement, "Our hearts are shattered as we learn of the passing of Officer Sierra Burton. Officer Burton fought like a warrior through every minute of this battle. Her endearing spirit, professional service, and shining personality will live with us for years to come. She's been an exemplary representative of our police department and our city. Officer Burton took an oath to protect and serve Richmond without fear or favor. It was an oath she took seriously and paid the ultimate sacrifice to fulfill. Officer Burton is survived by her fiancé, mother, and stepmother. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Officer Burton." Richmond, Indiana Police Officer Sierra Burton. End of watch, September 18th, 2022. Rest in peace, officer.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work as she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so again, happy Monday. Thank you guys for taking a moment to tune in. So again, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do something just a little bit different because we do have a different situation coming right now. So it's official. If you haven't been paying attention to the news, Hurricane Ian is what it is. Tropical Storm Ian has now strengthened into a hurricane. Early about 5 o'clock this morning was the announcement. Maximum sustained wind is 75 miles an hour. Now, Hurricane Ian, it's expected to strengthen rapidly today, and it's the idea of bringing significant wind and storm damage to Cuba before it starts to enter into the Gulf of Mexico headed toward Florida. Now, exactly where Ian is going to make Florida landfall, it remains uncertain, as you see the cone here, the cone of uncertainty, if you will. And this is coming from the National Hurricane Center. So Hurricane Ian has a maximum sustained wind of 75 miles an hour, again, making it a Cat 1 hurricane. But according to the advisory from 5 a.m. this morning, the storm is scheduled to be at least a Cat 4 right as it starts its approach into Florida. The winds are forecast to reach around 140 miles an hour within the next 48 hours. Now, hurricane force winds currently extend to 15 miles from the center itself. Tropical storm force winds are going to extend around 90 miles an hour from the center. Now, Hurricane Ian, it is located 581 miles south of Fort Myers. It's moving right here toward the northwest of 14 miles an hour. Hurricane Ian is forecast to enter the southern Gulf of Mexico on Tuesday, past the Florida Keys late Tuesday, and approach the west coast of Florida on Wednesday. So if you know anybody that's out there in Florida, guys, keep these people in your thoughts and their prayers. You know, check in on them because, I mean, obviously this is going to be a big deal. We're in, again, where it's going to make landfall in Florida, it is uncertain. The hurricane the NOAA says that it should, again, be stressed that there are still significant uncertainty in the track of Hurricane Ian, especially in 3 to 5 day time frame. Now, rapid strengthening, again, is expected into the next day or so. A major hurricane by the end of the night. And we're talking, you know, again, Cat 3, Cat 4 hurricane. So, guys, again, keep these people in your prayers. Keep them in your thoughts. And as always, guys, man, get out there and start donating blood. Start trying to find where you can make your donations, where you can start helping people. And, guys, so with that in mind, I just wanted to drop a quick line out there and just let you guys know that we're fighting for you here in Texas. We're sorry you're getting it, but we're kind of glad that we're not. But, guys, that's Hurricane Ian. Keep an eye on it. And if you know anybody in Florida, once again, reach out to them because this is going to be a big one. Okay. So if no one's ever told you what really matters in life, I'm going to do it. You know, there's only three things that really matter in our life. You know, these three things, they're all that the world wants to know about, you know, you. You know, no matter where you live in the big global village that we call planet Earth, you know, the space and the place that you occupy along with some 7.6 billion souls. It's your happiness and your success. You know, they're directly connected to these simple three things. And the three things that really matter are actually questions that we don't ever think about. Questions that the world is going to ask you. The first question they're going to ask you, the world's going to ask, how smart are you? Well, the second question they're going to ask is, what do you have to offer? And of course, the last one, can you be trusted? So we're talking about your intelligence. What are you going to bring to the table and can you be trusted? That's right. The world's not interested in your ethnicity. They're not interested in your religion or your politics or your culture or your socioeconomic or social status or even your gender. Nobody gives a shit but you. You know, the world doesn't care, you know, to know much, you know, how much bling you have or whether you live in a multi-million dollar condominium on the 40th floor of a glass concrete skyscraper or even if you live in a one-room hut with a dirt floor in a remote rural village somewhere. You know, it really, the world has no interest in knowing whether you have a six-figure bank account or if you have 6 cents in your bank account. The world is really about substance, not superficiality. You know, we live in a world that's packed with material possessions, and we're encouraged to chase those things. You've heard the saying, I know I heard it when I was a kid, he who dies with the most toys wins. But what does he win? The same thing that those without toys win, a graveyard. A cemetery, a casket, a headstone. So we keep running. We keep chasing these things. But, you know, what really matters here? What matters in the big scheme? You know, I just this past, last week, I guess, we buried a young warfighter who was just a little bit younger than me. You know, he had two, you know, beautiful kids. He had a great, great career. He had everything going for him. But it was his day. So I guess really what the question is, what really matters here? What matters in our life? You know, we run after these big television sets and great smartphones and better cars. We run after job promotions and luxurious vacations. We tend to think that more money in our bank account is going to translate into a happier life. You know, while offline and online shopping, it can bring us some type of short-term satisfaction. You know, it rarely matters in the big picture. Have you ever seen a hearse drag a U-Haul? You know, there's examples of things that really just don't matter in the end. Turn on the news and you'll find a whole hour dedicated to it. So I guess the question is, what really matters in life? The purpose of this show tonight, for this Mental Health Monday, We plan to show you what really matters in life and really how to find the things that matter most. So again, friends, episode number 288, What Matters Most, Mental Health Monday, 409-245-9753 is the number if you want to chime in. We'd love to have you because, look, I've never claimed to be the soothsayer, the doer of all things great. I'm a guy with an idea and a microphone. You know, the wise, I'll argue, the wise don't really chase after these materialistic items. You know, more clothes and smarter gadgets and bigger cars and luxurious houses, you know, they can make lives more convenient, but do these things really bring any happiness, especially long-lasting happiness? I'm here to tell you they don't. I've learned that, in 43 years. You know, I think the nexus of what really matters in life, truly, happiness. Happiness. How simple. You know, happiness, I think it comes from having a purpose in life. What is your why? Why are you doing these things? Why do you go through life doing the things you do? Does it make you happy? You know, without these things, you know, you'll always end up feeling unfulfilled and unhappy. You know, happiness, it comes from having that purpose. Loving and accepting yourself, loving and accepting others, and of course, maintaining your good health. You know, we often talk about this preferred version that we've created in our minds of ourselves, right? If I was 5 pounds lighter, if I was an inch taller, or if I was better at math. You know, some of these things, they're easier changed than others, but there's really no harm at all, I don't think, in wanting to change things that we can actually change. I mean, but more often than not, I mean, we all should really want to improve ourselves as a person. You know, if you ever think at any point in your life that, hey, you know what, I have no growing to do. I am perfect the way I am. And you hear a lot of arrogant people say this, that, you know, I am who I am and the world's just going to have to accept me. Well, yes and no. Absolutely. You should be yourself. But to think that the world should bend around you and your will, and you know, that's very short-sighted, and that's something we should really keep away from. You know, but really, more often than not, you know, we wish to change things that really can't be changed. I want to be taller. I want to be shorter. You know, and the truth is, we may even realize it, but that really doesn't stop us from dreaming, does it? I mean, life would be so much easier if we could just really accept ourselves for who we are. We don't need everyone else's permission to be who we are. I don't need anybody's permission to be Philip Blackman. I don't need anybody's permission to be half man, half amazing. That is up to me to decide. And it is the same for you. And it's a self-acceptance, right? And that in itself is what's going to bring you happiness. Rather than if you're trying to achieve an ideal version of yourself that someone else has created for you. Hey, I would be happier if you did this. But that self-acceptance, right? You know, Lori Shepherd, she's an educational psychologist, and she's written one of the most cited works on the topic of self-acceptance. And she defines the concept something like this. She said that self-acceptance, it involves a self-understanding, a realistic, albeit subjective awareness of our strengths and our weaknesses. Now, when psychologists, they talk about this idea of self-acceptance, you know, some people, they're very quick to argue that being too accepting of yourself is going to make you idle and lazy. But that's not what it's about. You know, self-acceptance, to accept who you are, it isn't just a willful ignorance of your shortcomings or looking at yourself through some rose-colored glasses. I mean, rather, I think it's truly the opposite. Self-acceptance in itself it's about being realistic about all aspects of your life. And it's okay. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it is okay to say, hey, that is an ugly damn baby, right? It's okay to call it what it is. It doesn't make you rude or uncompassionate. You just have a great idea of what time it is at all times. You know, being unhappy with who you are and what you can do, man, that right there is what's seen as the main source of motivation for people to improve. You know, this whole desire to improve yourself, you know, it's completely natural. We all have that desire to improve ourselves in some way, spiritually, emotionally, physically, intellectually. These are all things we should be driving for, but the motivation itself, it shouldn't come from a place of unhappiness or hatred or even discontent. Man, I'm disgusted with my fat ass, so I need to go exercise. You know, if your motivation to improve yourself is caused by something that's negative like that, you know, chances are that you're trying to improve yourself for all the wrong reasons. I mean, when we're talking about the negatives, you know, it's important to know which parts of yourself can be changed, which parts can't. You know, for example, here, you know, there's no point in being angry at yourself or even your genetics because you're not as tall as you'd like to be or because you're unhappy with the color of your hair. You know, you can try all you want, but you're never going to change those features yourself naturally. But if there's one thing that I found as an instructor and a professional noticer, all humans are really good at self-deception. You know, we're quick to credit ourselves for something good that's happened in our lives, while really, truly, all it was a matter of luck. Now, I argue that luck sometimes is preparation plus time equals luck, but like all the things in our life, it's this habit of this self-deception that it has a psychological purpose, and the whole purpose of it is to protect our self-esteem. You know, for example, if I convince myself that I'm more talented as a dancer, you know, than I actually am, then anybody who says otherwise is just an ignorant bully. And my feelings and my confidence, they are protected. Either agree with me or I will kick your ass, right? These are the types of people we see it a lot in politics. But this isn't to say that self-deception is the way to go. In fact, it's that self-deception that truly almost never, you know, is ever the right strategy for personal growth and personal development. You know, instead, I kind of argue that we probably should aim for self-acceptance. You know, my dancing may be bad, I'm gonna assure you, you know, but I'm brilliant at language. You know, we should strive to pay that equal attention to our strengths and our weaknesses. Understand that, hey, you may stink at some things, but you're great at other things, and take stock in that. That's where taking inventory of your attributes comes in. Yeah, I think we should really strive to pay attention to what we're doing always. But not only does self-deceptance really give us a more realistic picture of ourselves, but I really truly think that it's good for our mental health. You know, I think you don't really need much more convincing that self-acceptance is good for you. I'm sure that you could figure that out all by yourself, that accepting yourself is strongly correlated to a better mental health without all the science that they tell you that you should back it up. But if you're looking for science, fine, okay. There's an adult study that was done by Harvard, and they studied the lives of more than 700 people, and it was conducted over the course of 75 years. So the participants were divided into two groups: one group of participants who finished college, and the others who come from poor neighborhoods, very different on the socioeconomic scale. Their personal and professional lives they were studied, as well as their health and their relationships. Now, while most people thought that money and fame made for a happier life, the research actually shows something completely different. It was the good relationships. I was telling my nephew this, you know, it's the quality relationships that have the positive impact on our life. It's not about having a big circle of friends or several great relationships. Sometimes all you need is one, and one meaningful relationship will take you anywhere you want to go. Quality over quantity. You know, in the words of Professor Robert Waldinger, he's the director of this study, and he said that the clearest message that we could get from this 75-year study is this: that good relationships are going to keep us happier and healthier. George Valiant, he's one of the earlier researchers of the study, he came to the same conclusion with his own words. He said the key to healthy aging is relationships, relationships, relationships. So guys, if you're not in the business of building relationships, then what are you doing? Quality relationships. We have to be professional relationships builders, or professional relationship builders. I mean, they say that it takes a village to raise a child, but I think it takes a village also to maintain an adult. And the only way you're going to have that village is if you create relationships. Get out of your own way and go find someone who challenges you intellectually. Find someone who challenges you mentally and spiritually. And hey, if you're one of these people who like to go to the gym, find someone who challenges you physically. But do it all for the right reasons. You know, I argue that the hospitals are going to be full of people one day dying of absolutely nothing. We can't outrun the clock. We can't outrun the grave. But what we can do is take stock in what we're doing. You know, one of my favorite articles, I read it online, and it's actually called The Regrets of Dying. If you've never read the article, look it up, The Regrets of Dying. And the purpose of this article, it covered one of the most frequently quoted regrets of people that happened on their deathbed. It's a fascinating story. It uncovers what most people regret the most at the end of their lives. So here's the gist of it. It's a big five list. So number one, the very first, the top rated reply on a deathbed confession, if you will, was, "I wish I'd had the courage to live life true to myself, not the life others expected of me." Can you imagine being on your deathbed and that is what you say? "I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me." That is a regretful way to walk into the grave. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, you're today years old. Today's your opportunity to make that change. Listen to the words and listen to the wisdom of the people that came before you. These people who lived long, fruitful lives, they say that they wish they had the courage to live a life that was true to who they are, not the life other people expected. The second one, "I wish I hadn't worked so hard." You know, look, I get it. You know, I'm probably the worst person ever to be behind a microphone saying this right here, that you should not be that person, because, man, my wife, that poor woman has been, she spent a lot of our marriage by herself because I was dedicated to working for another mission. But when you're working so hard, when all you do is work, when all you do is eat, sleep, drink, think, everything revolves around work, you leave no room for the things that really matter in your life, your family, these quality relationships. The third one, the third leading one was, "I'd wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings." We put ourselves in this situation where we always walk around on eggshells. We don't want people, we just assume just kind of roll with the punches, right? Instead of expressing our feelings, like, you know, and you really see this in people who've been married for a long time. They just kind of swallow real hard. They don't really express their feelings because they don't want to offend or hurt the feelings of their significant other. I get it. But the only way to be true to yourself is to honestly identify how you feel. Be open with yourself. Be an open book. Number four was that, "I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends." Good Lord. We just talked about this. Relationships, relationships, relationships. You need quality over quantity. Stay in touch with the people who know you. I read when I was a kid that a true friend is someone who knows where you've been, knows where you are, and has a pretty good idea where you're going, and they still love you for who you are. And of course, the last one, which again, this is the top five, and number five ranked below all of these other ones, but "I wish I'd let myself be happier." You know, there's so many people who work a job. There's so many people who do, they go through this life and, man, they're never really happy. They're afraid to let themselves be happy. They're afraid to do the things that makes them happy because they feel like they have to chase that almighty dollar, you know, and I get it. But did you notice how none of those deathbed regrets were, "I wish I'd bought a bigger TV"? No, absolutely not. All right, so hey, we got a couple folks here. Angie Garza, Andrew Cox. I see Tammy. I know we got a lot more than those that have chimed in. But guys, if you have chimed in, thank you so much for joining. That is, you know, we're talking about what matters most in life. Find what you enjoy and then just go do it. For anybody that's struggling to really find out what really matters in life, I want to offer you some clues in this segment, and we call it The Breakdown. Yeah, I think for a lot of us, you know, rule number one, you know, I cover this a lot on my mental health shows. Have a purpose. You know, somebody that's going through life without a purpose in life, that you know, if you wake up in the morning, in any point in your life, no matter what you're doing, why am I doing this? If you don't have a good, strong enough why, then what's the point? You know, it's that sense of purpose, right? That's what gives us the why in our life. Why do we do this? You know, and it's the reason why we do what we do. You've got to have a good reason. It's the reason for our actions. It's the reason for our work. It's the reason for our relationships. All of our lives, they revolve around purpose. You know, it gives our life meaning. You know, meaning which really matters in life. You know, my personal why statement in life, it's to be worth everything that's been given to me. And I've spent a lot of, you know, I think the other part of my why is I want to have as much of a positive influence on this world as I possibly can. You know, I want to leave this world better than I found it. I want to leave you, when you join my show, whether it's for 5 minutes or 5 hours, when you come on my show, I want to know that I've left a positive mark on you. You know, but is that a significant why? I mean, how can you find your own why in life? And I think my answer really, if I had to think about it not too hard, it's you got to find something that defines your own personal why. It's unique to everyone. Every single person, everyone who's ever drawn a breath has a deep motivation that fuels their life in the grand scheme of things. I mean, if you keep questioning why do you do the things you do, you're going to eventually find your own personal why in life. I think that people who find their path in life, they usually find it on their journey to avoid it. You know, what's your why in life? You know, this is a question that's very common, but it should make you think about what do you want out of your life? What is it that you do? I mean, how do you find out what your why in life is? And I think, you ask lots of questions, and they all begin with WHY. Why do I do this? Why do I value this over that? Why am I not happy when this happens? Why am I stressed? Why? These are questions that we should be asking. If you keep asking these questions, you're going to fail your way to success. You're going to eventually end up at the same answer. And that answer is almost always your why in life. You know, the reason, and that once you find that why, that is the reason that makes you go forward when everything else is just falling around you. No matter what happens in your life, your why is your purpose. So if you fall down on your face, you can still get up, look up, wipe the dirt off your face and say, yep, there it is. It is still there. That is your motivation to get up off the floor. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and start walking forward. Get your dog tags out of the dirt. I say this at the end of every show. That's what makes you unhappy if your current situation really doesn't align with your why. And common answers to your why questions are usually a variation or combination of, I don't know, maybe you, why? Because you want to provide for your family, or you want success, or you want to leave a legacy, or you want to feel loved, or you want to have a positive impact on the lives of other people. Maybe you want fortune. But if you're watching this show right now, or you're listening to it on the podcast, you know, you're probably thinking, I want everything that Mr. Blackman just said. And really, without giving any more thought to this question, you might actually start to plan your life out to be a successful and rich person with a huge positive impact on the world, because that sounds like a good reason to be alive, doesn't it? I mean, how do you find your why in life? I mean, here's how you don't find it, I think, you know, by sitting in a chair, looking out a window, waiting for someone to tell you what your why should be. You're not going to find it by having that aha, that eureka moment. Those don't exist. We do this a lot because we're always in some type of competition with someone. I think we, you know, a lot of our struggles, you know, successful people, they use their why, and that is what fuels them. But what we tend to do sometimes when we don't have ideas, because in the land of no ideas, the man with an idea is king. So what do? We start copying somebody else's why. And that is a mistake, because we're never going to be able to duplicate what they're doing, because it's not our idea. It's someone else's. So in order to find your personal why in your life, you really got to start, you got to take a shovel and you got to dig deep down into your conscious mind. I mean, how do you start digging? I think, ask questions. The questions in your life a lot of people go through this life and they don't ever ask questions of themselves. Therefore, they never really have any connection to what's going on in their life. You know, when you hear people, ask yourself this: why do I work every day from 7 to 4? Or 9 to 5? Well, I think that the short answer would be for a lot of people is because I need money in order to do the things I value most. But what does this answer show me? It shows me that my career has absolutely nothing to do with my why. I only work because the money is what allows me to do the things I value more. But, you know, let's continue. Another question, you know, what do I value most? The answer for the short answer for some people is to live a happy life and to be surrounded by people whose lives I have a positive influence on. Okay, so this really already becomes more existential. You know, your why in life, it's usually not connected to a single factor like your career, or your hobby, or even a single good cause. It's usually much bigger than that. But let's go on. Why do I want to have a positive influence on the world? Well, because I've been given an opportunity in life that not a lot of other people have gotten. You know, good upbringing, basic needs, family, health, education. You know, I don't just want to take any of these for granted. You know, I want to use these as this opportunity to give back to the world. Ah, there it is right there. That is a why statement that I can personally be happy with. With just three questions, I've dug down into the bottom of my why, which shows me that, you know, what drives me to do the things that I do in life. You know, it's a why statement that's often used in the corporate world because why is it also important to determine your own why in a statement, right? You know, granted, your organization may have one, but you got to have your own personal. Because you're more likely to be a happier individual when you live a life that's aligned with your purpose. You know, I talked about relationships, right? Why, you know, to kind of go off on a tangent, you know, relationships, they're important in our lives, you know, the positive kind, not the negative, not the people who are energy thieves, you know, and you know the energy thieves in your life when you see them and you're like, what now, right? Those are energy thieves. Those are energy vampires, whatever you want to call them. Get away from them. Get rid of that out of your life. All right, so Brave Desmond, right over here on Twitch, says, what if you know the why, but also have physical limitations that were not there at a younger age? Sir or ma'am, man, I understand. I'm picking up exactly what you're throwing down. If you know the why, but there's physical limitations. As we get older, we start to break down. And rather you're breaking down because of some type of service, maybe you're a hard athlete, whatever the case is. You know, if you know your why, nothing's going to stop you, period. If you know your why, nothing in this world will stop you. Physical limitations be damned. You know, there's... When I think of that question, you know, I think of the amputee who wants to be stronger, so they're doing squats on a prosthetic, or, you know, I mean, we create all of these we create these excuses for ourselves. And look, I'm saying this for me. I'm not saying this for you, but for me, my physical limitations. One thing that I always tell myself is I'm not going to let this moment define who I am. You know, so if you want something bad enough, damn any excuse. What you need to do is you need to replace that wishbone with a backbone. You can't wish your way to success. You gotta demand excellence. So if you do have physical limitations, hey, right on. All you're going to do is you're just going to find an easier way to get it done. You're going to find a different way to get it done. But anything that you want to do in this life, I truly believe you have the ability. Unless you're like me, you're 6'5". I'll never be a jockey, even if that's my why. I'll never be that because of the physical limitations. I get it, but what is it that drives you? If it's something you really truly want to do with all your heart, then, you know, don't let anything stand in your way. And I'm always here. I'm always available. 409-245-9753. I love this conversation, and it is a banging ass question. I appreciate you answering that. But getting back to our relationships, you know, I really think that, you know, in a busy world that we live in, you know, we often think that we don't have a lot of time to give up for our family or friends. And I've been guilty of that. But I think even worse is we take it all for granted and we postpone it later. Tomorrow is the answer we give, you know, and we prioritize our work. All right. So Brave Desmond says it's very tough to admit you can't also. It is. But, you know, and that's OK. If you cannot do. I don't know what your why is. If it's something that you want to do and you just physically can't, well, there's other ways you can contribute. And I look at it as a combat veteran, someone who's I've been beaten to hell. I've been blown up. I wasn't ready to hang it up. I wasn't ready to end my service. I still wanted to serve. Well, physically, I couldn't do it, but I was able to serve in different ways, maybe as a support element. Maybe I didn't get to do it the way I wanted to do it, but because my why was strong enough, I was able to find a different way to get it done and still fulfill that desire that I had. But, you know, I think our family and our friends and our loved ones, they are a great part of what makes our life happier. I really truly believe that. But and we all take certain things for granted, you know, and I think some probably more than others. You know, we're so used to our routines and our comfort and our luxuries that it's practically impossible to not take anything for granted. We're going to do that. We're human beings. Everybody knows that you should try to appreciate the good things of life, no matter how big or how small. But what's the importance of not taking everything for granted? Well, I think the idea is there's multiple ways to look at it. I mean, if you ask me, I mean, from a personal perspective, you're really truly less likely to connect with other people if you take everything for granted. I mean, I guess a good example is if you never say thank you to a friend or a loved one, you know, that friend, chances are, after enough times, they're going to be less likely to support you in the times that you need ahead. Benjamin Franklin once said that a small leak can sink a big ship, meaning if you take care of the little things, the big things will work themselves out. But by taking things for granted, you're really reducing the amount of positive feedback that you're sending out to all of those around you. You're robbing people of the blessings to support you. I mean, if you take everything for granted, then truly, I mean, why would you ever compliment anyone, or why would you ever go out of your way to help anyone? But on a grander scale, I think the problem becomes bigger. If everybody around the world took for granted the positive things in life, there would truly be serious consequences. You know, when people only hand out negative feedback to one another, the world would truly lose a lot of its positivity. And we're seeing it right now. You got, you know, if you're watching social media, if you're watching the news, nothing but negativity out there. So the world is going to give you back what you pour into it. I mean, if you know somebody who takes things for granted, you know, you'll probably think of that person maybe as being ungrateful. But what's the opposite of taking things for granted? Yeah, I mean, I think it's to be grateful for the positive things, right? You know, one of the best ways to not take stuff for granted is to actually start practicing gratitude. But that gratitude has to start with YOU. You have to be thankful and gracious for the life that you've been given. Because I'm telling you something, today a lot of people died. Nothing significant happened, because that's what happens in life. If you're here, that is number one. Hey, I'm alive today, and be thankful for that and live on purpose. You know, it's important to know that there is a difference between being grateful and actually expressing gratitude. I mean, you can feel grateful all day long by simply taking a second to think of the positive things that's going on. But as long as we don't actually express it, you're going to start to seem like maybe that person that takes stuff for granted. I mean, if a waiter hands you a drink while you're out to eat, right, you're probably experiencing a positive emotion like joy right on. But if you don't actually express this positivity, chances are, you know, the person that you're interacting with, that waiter, they're going to be kind of left stranded, and it leaves that interaction without a similar boost, right? We're not pouring it back into them. I think it's truly only by expressing our gratitude that we're truly able to share the positive with everyone around us. Kindness costs nothing, but yet it seems to be in short supply. But again, you know, it's a crucial part of the way that social reciprocity works, you know. I mean, but unfortunately, that's the part that I think is forgotten. You know, this fascinating study, the researchers, they found that only 15% of conversations include some form of the words thank you. It doesn't cost anything. That kindness doesn't cost anything, but we tend to lose it. You know, and the percentage is truly even lower for other languages, right? I mean, and this truly implies that there's even a difference in really how we express our gratitude depending on the language we speak. You know, I remember the happiest memories of my life, they revolved around spending time with my family and my friends, my brother from a broken rubber tanner, Catrette TC, you know. Man, this is the guy, I mean, even still, going through blood, guts, spit, and ass war, you know, this is, relationships that are built in fire are typically the strongest ones, you know, and the Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron, and that's what we're talking about, those good relationships, you know, they matter. You got to nurture these relationships with attention and the love and the care that they deserve. If you don't know how to do that, fine, great. So here's how you can get there. Spend time with people who support you. Spend time with people who encourage you. Now, again, sir or madam, he says, I did chase that once, but got kicked back down for doing the right thing. Well, you know what? Keep doing the right thing. There's a great motivational speaker. His name is Les Brown. Les Brown says that if you've ever in life fall down, land on your back, because if you can get up, you can. If you can look up, you can get up, and that's what we're talking about. So what, you got kicked back down? Keep getting up, because that is the measure of a man. That is the measure of a woman. That is the measure of someone who has a strong resolve, is someone who says, hey, fine, I've taken your best, and yet I'm still here. So one thing that we tend to forget a lot is that no matter where you are in this life, no matter what you're going through in this life, I want you to think about it. I'm 43 years old, and I have outlived every worst moment of my life. I have survived. I have endured. That's not a testament to how badass I am, because I am quite badass. As you can see, I don't have a confidence problem. But you know, I do joke. I'm speaking in jest, because the thing is, friends, it's okay. And I promise you, at some point in my life, I'm going to have something that is going to be the next worst thing ever, and I'm not going to know how I'm going to get through to it, or know how I'm going to get through it. But I always have to remind myself, I always have to remember, and I've got a great relationship. I got a great support system in my wife and TC and so many people, you know, people that tell me, hey, you know, that thing you went through, yeah, that was pretty bad too. I mean, how does this weigh, Ray? Oh, well, yeah, you're right. I've been through worse. So I think that's kind of the deal, right? But replace the time that you spend on your phone or in the TV with real people. This cell phone right here, it's handy as hell. They call it a smartphone, but it has made us socially stupid. We have forgotten how to have relationships. Think of the last time you went out to dinner. Chances are, if you saw a family sitting, you know, anywhere in the restaurant, chances are they had that blue glow on their faces. They were texting or checking Facebook or social media. They're missing out on those moments that they should be sharing with each other. So they've created a superficial connection. I've got 3,000 friends on Facebook. You don't have 3,000 friends. You got 3,000 people who follow you. You don't have 3,000 friends. Chances are you don't have free friends. And that's not a dig on anybody, but quality relationships. You know, do the things with your loved ones that to strengthen your relationship with them. Sometimes, man, you got to get away from that grind. Sometimes you just got to take a knee and say, okay, I'm getting burnt out. That's a big one. We covered that last week. We talked about burnout. You know, get away from that burnout. So what? How do you do that? How do you reset? Well, I think you start finding your loved ones and do things that strengthen your relationship with them. I don't care what it is. Here's another great idea. Again, going back to my man TC, reach out to your old friends. Reach out to good relatives. Connect with your colleagues. Whatever it is, create positive quality relationships. Spend time with positive people and watch how it changes your life for the better. The first thing out of the chute when you wake up in the morning, man, jump on YouTube, whatever the case is, find something positive and pour into yourself, because you deserve it. Find positivity. Positivity is not just going to show up at your door. You have to thirst for it. You have to want it. You have to desire it. And when you do, when you start going out and finding it, crazy enough, by putting that positivity in your mind, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, your life is going to be fruitful, because you are pouring into yourself, and you're going to get thirsty as shit for it, and you're going to want more. You're going to become greedy. That is what we're talking about. All right, so he says that I'm polite. I'm too polite sometimes. Hey, you know what? I don't think there's such thing as being too polite. Look, just because someone deserves a great big one of these right here, don't necessarily mean you got to give it to them. You know, it's okay to move on. It's okay to be polite. You know, kill them with kindness, because one thing that I tell people when I see stuff like this, I'm too polite sometimes, is look, never go to a battle of wits with an unarmed person, right? Don't argue with an asshole, because they will pull you down to their level and they will beat you with experience. Keep being polite. Keep being the change you want to see in this world. All right, Laura Harlow says, hey, Phil, great lessons. Hey, that's what we're trying to do, ma'am. She says, keep doing the right thing. Be kind. It'll come back to you. It's mostly from your inner self, with the knowledge that you did the right thing. Now, look, I agree. We probably could share some horror stories. Again, find me all over social media, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch. Shoot me a friend request. Let me know who you are. I would love to connect with. I love connecting with other people who are just as little twisted as I am. Shoot me a message, man. I'd love to talk to you some more. Laura says, choose it. Once you look at it, you will see it everywhere. Man, you got to become addicted to that positivity. Rob Williams, but I want to. I do too, man. Be positive. You know, look, it's easy to and the true measure of who we are. It's easy to want to subscribe and feed back that negativity, but truly all it does is it just drains you even more. And by the time you're done, you're exhausted. It's not worth it. You are worth it. You are, man, you are the greatest thing since nose hair trimmers in the pyramids. Keep telling yourself that, and eventually you're going to believe it. Because, look, I argue that, again, I've said it 100 times on my show. Sometimes the nicest thing you'll ever hear about you comes from YOU. You are your biggest fan. You are your biggest cheerleader. Embrace you. Because how in the world is anybody else going to want to follow you? How is anyone else going to love you? How is anyone going to like you? How is anyone going to want to follow you? How does anybody want to be attracted to that magnet of positivity if you don't have it for yourself? If you don't have enough, I tell people this all the time, right? If you don't love yourself, how can you ask anyone else to? If you don't love your behavior, if you don't love anything about you, how can you expect anyone else to? Man, just embrace the suck and follow on. He says, because I can, I don't mean to. Well, and that's okay. Continue to be happy. And look, there is no prescription that you can take that's going to create your happiness. You have to write yourself your own prescription. I mean, seriously, go sit in front, you know, go to your desk or whatever and just write yourself a prescription. Hang that stuff up on the wall. Put it everywhere you want to see. Put it in your truck, put it on your mirror, put it on your next roll of toilet paper. No matter what, you want to be happy. Prescribe yourself, give yourself permission to be happy, give yourself permission to embrace everything that's beautiful about this life. Because look, you don't have to look very far to find a reason to be mad. You don't have to look very far to find a reason to have the energy just sucked out of your life. It's up to you. Grab a hold of it and be the change that you want to see in this world. Rob Williams says, Mental Health Mondays is my favorite day of the week. Man, every day is my favorite day of the week. If it ends in Y, that is my favorite. Bobby McHatton, good to see you, my brother. He says, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. God darn it. People love me. Well, hey, man, that's why I tell people I'm half man, half amazing. Because I have to believe, I pour that into myself, not because it's arrogance, because who else is going to tell me I'm great? Well, it has to start with me. If I don't tell myself great, then how am I going to be upset because other people don't? So here's my mother, Becky Ballard. She says, you are so right. You taught me that in the last few months. Well, you know, Mom, you know, I don't know about teaching it back to you, but, you know, I try to be the example. You know, what I pour into people is what I try to pour. I always try to pour to myself first, and we have to embrace it. You know, I think the next one, when we're talking about finding it, right, is that good mental health. And that's the purpose that why we do these shows. You know, health is one of the most important things that we take for granted. I mean, think about every fatty cake or every dip of Copenhagen or every cigarette or cigarweed. Think about all these things, right? If we don't eat healthy, if we sleep like crap, if we don't treasure our bodies, what are we doing? I mean, health matters. Our physical health, but more importantly, our mental health. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to your body. Be kind to your mind. You know, there's a lot of people out there who aren't lucky to have a healthy body. So keep it nourished. Keep it nurtured. I mean, choosing kindness, it doesn't come easy to anyone, especially when we're busy judging ourselves. You know, we find ourselves in that 6 inches of gray matter between our earlobes. We're wired in a way that makes it so much easier for us to react to something in a negative way. But does that necessarily mean that we should never try to choose kindness over negativity? Absolutely not. You know, there's times when you can choose to be kind, you know, and what you decide to do, that depends on who you are, how aware you are of those situations. It can depend on how maybe you woke up this morning or maybe how you're personally feeling, you know, going to being broken. You know, I get it, you know, but depending on how you feel, you know, you could choose to be an asshole or you could choose to be kind. Those are your two options. These situations, man, they're going to pop up all day long, multiple times throughout the day. Oftentimes it happens without us even being aware of it. I mean, if you commuted to work today, there's a chance that somebody out there, especially if you're down here in Southeast Texas, right, where they drive by the Braille system, right? So they're in their lane and they feel a rumble strip and they just go to the other way. They feel a rumble strip. That's how they travel. There's no such. We have lines in our roads down here in Texas for decoration only because no one knows how to stay in that lane. This one right here is probably the worst one. She drives like shit. But yeah, I digress. You know, maybe somebody did something stupid in traffic that, you know, and you had to correct. What would you do? I had someone. I had a head shrinker one time ask me in a station at Brook Army Medical Center. And one of the things that he had told me, he said, picture this, you're coming to work this morning and some lady cuts you off. What are you going to do? Well, I'm probably going to throw her the middle finger. I'm going to get right up on her ass, just good enough where she can read my lips in her rearview mirror. He says, okay, what happens if she pulls over and she flags you down and she tells you, and you get out and, well, her child is in the backseat choking or going into cardiac arrest, whatever the case is, what would you do? I said, well, I'd probably throw sand in her mouth, call her an idiot, because why is she on the side of the road when the hospital is right there? Apparently, he'd never received that. So I guess the idea is every situation is different, but it really boils down to how you want to receive anything that happens. If you have traffic that's blocked up, and instead of getting mad about it, just consider it. Maybe somebody's looking out for you because maybe there's a wreck up there that if you were continuing to do in the speed limit, you know, it's perspective. If you continue to do the speed limit, maybe you're going to have an accident. Who knows? But if someone cuts you off in traffic, I mean, what are you going to do? Like me? You're going to give them the middle finger, maybe scream at them, call them an asshole? Yeah, why not? Or you go the other way. Just wave at them. Give them a smile. Maybe they're just having a bad day and they just took it out on you inadvertently. You know, I think most humans, they want justice to be served in the world, right? And so they are the ones who serves the justice. I mean, that makes sense, right? I mean, if someone does something immoral or unlawful, that person needs to be corrected, right? I mean, if somebody cuts me off in traffic, then it's my duty to open my window, call them an asshole as loud as I can, right? I mean, I can't let this reckless driver get away with nearly pushing me out of my lane. And look, this would make total sense in a world where humans act like robots, but that's not the case. In fact, in the minds of human beings, you know, all of us, including me and you, we're flawed. You know, my buddy used to tell me, you know, I'm just a weak reflection of Jesus. Not talking about me, but that's what he was saying about himself. He's always trying to get better. But one of these flaws in particular, it's called the fundamental attribution error, right? Basically, the fundamental attribution error, it means that we judge others based, you know, on their character, but we judge ourselves on the situation. So let's put it this way. If you've ever done something just absolutely stupid in traffic, you've likely shrugged it off and explained to yourself that, it's because you're busy in traffic. It wasn't your fault. And even then, what's the big deal? No one died. But when someone else does it, you know, you're quick to get out of your hypothetical pitchfork and torches and get after them. And it's that bias that explains a lot about why humans are often deciding to be the opposite of kind. You know, choosing kindness, that's what's going to increase your happiness. It's been proven, you know, in plenty of studies. For example, there was a study that involved around 100 participants, and they were given $5 every day for 5 days. And they were asked to either spend it on themselves or spend it on others. But the condition was they had to spend it on the same thing every day. What would you have done if someone gave you $5 every day? You know, different participants, they spent money in different ways, right? The results showed that participants who spent it on others instead of themselves, they experienced more happiness. You know, there's so many more ways to spread happiness, ranging from giving somebody a compliment to just providing a listening ear to a friend in need or even a stranger. But funnily enough, you know, all these things, they've been studied before, and the results have shown that spreading happiness, like I'm telling you, it increases your own happiness as well. And it's a phenomenon that's referred to as the helper's high. And it's one of the strongest reasons why you should continue to choose kindness as the best thing to do. It's a benefit that should give you enough reasons to always be kind. Bobby in the chat says that my grandpa always said, don't worry about what's good for you. Do whatever makes you happy. You only get one life. Live every day like it is your last. And he says, what are you saying? I'm not perfect. No, brother, I'm saying you are half man, half amazing. Get after yourself. Brave Daz Man says, I've cussed them like they could hear me, but I've waved and smiled before. Yeah, doesn't it feel kind of weird, right? TC says that buy me a shaved ice with Ling Hai Mui powder every day. Sorry, buddy. I'm Honky Kong, right? I don't know what Ling Hai Mui powder is, but hey, If it's that good, then give me two. Yeah, I think the next one that we tend to miss out on is, man, loving and accepting you. Yeah, you can love and accept everybody else all day long, and we typically do, but we don't really ever love and accept ourselves, you know. And I argue that accepting and loving yourself, it probably matters more than anything else that you ever do. I mean, as a matter of fact, you know, some of you love yourselves first thing in the morning, and right on for you. But when you completely embrace yourself and you nurture your well-being and your growth, you're going to start to see the positive effect it has on your life. Treat yourself like a king, or treat yourself like a queen. I promise you, when you take time to pamper yourself, you're going to see something different. You know, it's that positive view of yourself. That's what leads to the positive view of the world. If you are okay, chances are everything else is just fine. And it's worth remembering that humans, by our own very nature, we got something called that negativity bias. And essentially, this is the term that we use to describe our tendency to prioritize the bad things in our lives over the good things to our natural instinct to protect ourselves against a threat. And it's this bias. You know, it's not nearly as useful to us as it was for more, you know, our wild ancestors, you know, given how much less we really have to worry about dying of a horrible, violent, ass-eating diarrhea or dying at the hands or the paws of a wild animal or preventable disease. And, of course, the white man. But I digress. The biggest part of loving and accepting yourself, man, that is a lesson that I've learned just within these past few years because of my wife. You know, practice forgiveness. You know, in that context, forgiveness, that is what consists of fully accepting the negative events that have occurred, through which I think we can let go of our negative feelings about what happened if we just accept this happened. And there's even studies, again, we're following the science that show that negative hangups to drift away into simply accepting events as they are, we can improve our mental, our physical, our spiritual, our intellectual health. And it truly leads to leading a better immune function and a longer lifespan. But the best part is, it's a cognitive skill that can be taught and learned and redone. It's not perishable. Once you learn it, man, you're off of the race. You've created a habit. Meditation. Practice forgiveness, not just for everyone else, but for yourself. Teach yourself to not only forgive the actions of others, but also to forgive our own. You know, that right there was kind of the hardest part for someone like me is forgiving my actions or even my lack of action. You know, once you get over that hang-up, man, things just kind of fall into place. I guess what I'm getting at is give yourself a break. You know, you're doing great. You know, another way to deal with negative thoughts and feelings is replace them with the positive thoughts that are more constructive. Build yourself up, not destructive, and tear yourself down. Now, it's not the easiest thing in the world to do, and it may sound like an oversimplification, but let me explain it to you. The basic principle here is that you need to pay attention to your thoughts. And when unwarranted negativity rears its ugly head, because it will, you need to catch it. You need to interrogate it. Ask yourself if the feeling or the thought has any truthful basis. Chances are it doesn't. You know, remove the emotion out of it and focus on the facts. What would you say to someone if they were having this thought? Whatever thoughts you're having right now, what would you tell your friend? What would you tell your family? What would you tell someone if they were having the thoughts that you are? You know, what can you do to get out of this mental space? You know, once you review it, you know, you can move on to replacing the thought. And it's here that we take a negative feeling and we just flip it right up on its head. And if you notice yourself thinking that I'm useless, that is a big one that a lot of us tend to say, I'm useless. You know, you'd probably start to consciously tell yourself just the opposite, using only positive words. I am not useless. I am valuable. Does this make sense? Repeat it over and over and over. Wash, rinse, repeat. Every time that the negative thought rises up to the surface, man, slap that shit back down and go right back to the opposite. It's intentional living. It's intentional thinking. You can even write down a positive thought over and over on a piece of paper, or you can write them down and stick them to a sign in a visible place where you frequent. The refrigerator, that's where I frequent. And your computer screen, that's another place I frequent. The toilet, I'm spending more time in there than anybody. But whatever works for you, do it. And do it a lot. It's not a quick fix. And don't even let me try to sell it to you that way. But with a few weeks, just a few weeks, I'm telling you, 14 days is all it takes to create a habit. A few weeks of application, it might just start to help. You'll start to believe it. You'll start to think of your way out of any negative situation. Go you, man. Be your own cheerleader. I wouldn't recommend doing a split unless you can. I did it once on accident, and it took me weeks to get over. But if you're unable to love yourself, you're going to be unable to love anyone. There was a time in my life when I criticized everything that I did, and I thought that my life fell apart because of how I am. You know, I hated myself, and it wasn't too long after that I started distancing myself from other people. And it was after I learned how to love myself that I could really start to begin to get in the weeds and truly love and care for other people. But how did I do it, right? I think the first thing is what we've already talked about, man. You accept your flaws and you recognize your strengths. I forgave myself when I made a mistake, but I also held myself accountable. I spent time with those that I loved, and I asked for help when I needed it. Not always. It took a lot of pride to be able to say, hey, I need help. That is the hardest thing. Those three words, I need help, is the hardest thing that really anybody will say. But man, once you try it on, you're going to see just how powerful it truly, how liberating it is. You know, I stayed positive as much as I could, and I tried to let go of any resentment, and that's taken me years to get there. But more importantly, I made healthier choices. I tracked my own growth. I tracked my own progress. I mean, in short, I guess I started to love myself again. And if I can, you can. Take time to discover your true self. Embrace it, because you're worth it. And that right there, friends, is the breakdown. So, guys, let's get to our comments here. Tammy says, makes me happy to know that you listen to me, Blackman. Well, I have no choice. I've been married to you long enough, right? Brave Dosman over on Twitch says that I've always tried to get into helping addicts get sober in a different way, to whom AA meetings or meetings don't work for them. You know, and that's a pretty brilliant point. You know, not every treatment plan is going to be perfect for everyone. And what you're trying to do is find what works for you. But all you can do, if you truly want to help someone who's surviving an addiction, you know, all you can be is an idea fairy. You know, you can explain it to them, but you can't understand it for them. You got to paint the picture and be like, hey, this is my roadmap. This is what worked for me, but find your own way. Give them ideas for things that maybe if you're a person who was an addict at one point, find what worked for you and share that knowledge. Because, man, without hope, you know, your job in life, if you truly want to help people, your job in life is to give hope. Man, hope is the only thing that we have in our life when everything feels lost. Grab a hold of it and, man, sow that seed everywhere. I promise it'll happen. Laura says, positive self-talk, and it takes time to develop the habit of it. Help them find their own way. That's exactly right. You're going to help people find their own way. Don't try to find their way for them, because then, again, that goes back to someone else is using your why. They need to come up with their own, and that's kind of what we're getting at. He says, I wouldn't wish what happened to me on anyone. Look, I do these mental health shows every Monday. I would love to, you know, I'd love to get in the weeds with you a little bit. I'd love to, you know, because it sounds like you may have an interesting journey just based off the social media chatter. You know, I'm always looking for guests. If you're interested in coming on and telling your story, man, we're worldwide right now. So I'm more than happy to entertain anyone who's interested in spreading that positivity. Well, guys, stick around with this commercial break, and we're going to dive right back into our final segment, one final thing. TC, if you're still here, man, this one's for you.
Dear Mainland, aloha. Now, we know you guys love Friday. You even thank the creator for it, TGIF. But why leave out Thursday? Maybe you call Thursday Little Friday and be thankful for it, too.
Happy Little Friday.
It's Monday, brother.
Happy Teeny Tiny Friday.
One life, right?
Mahalo. Longboard Island Lager and Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Uh-huh. Everybody knows that.
Well, did you know that Old MacDonald was a really bad speller?
Your word is cow.
Cow. Cow. C-O-W, E-I-E-I-O.
Dang nabbit.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you, well, you know.
All right, guys, well, as we wrap this up, you know, I've spent the bulk of this show talking about finding what's most important in life for Y-O-U, right? You. No one else, you. Now, look, granted, each and every point that I've covered, the reality is they're all unique, and they're up to us to find what really matters most. However, I really do believe that there are five things that are universal for everyone, regardless of what your goals and your aspirations or what life has handed you. Regardless of all these things in life, I want to wrap up this Mental Health Monday with my Fab Five in this last segment, one final thing. All right, so when we're talking about how do we get there, five things that are universal for everyone, I think rule number one is time, man. Time is one of those, it's the inevitable progression into the future with the passing of a present and a past event. That is what time is. If I ask any of you, chances are, if I told any of you I was on hard times and I need $5 or $20, you'd throw $5 or $20 at me because you know you can always make more. But if I ask for 5 days, no, we got to take some planning. Why? Because time is something that once it's gone, it never comes back. It is the totality of life itself. In fact, I think time is considered the most important life event that we'll ever experience. It's the continuous, unstoppable, it has no regulations. You know, time, it's that factor that allows you to pass through this life and life through you. What makes it critical is the fact that time, it waits for no one. It is an equal opportunity offender. We're not left with the option, you know, but we're left with the responsibility. What responsibility? Time management. We all get the same time in the day. What are you doing with it? The only way to be in charge of time, conquer time, borrow or buy time, is to master the virtue itself of time management. And I think it's that proper time management that really only that someone takes absolute charge of their life. Otherwise, there would be so much interference that it would eventually lead to a failure. A person who's failed to manage time, they have failed to manage life. Time is powerful. I said it earlier, and I'm going to say it again, it's your health, man. The common saying that health is wealth, right? Think about, you've probably heard that before. Health, it's also life. The human body, it's all about the proper management. It's susceptible to various risks of exposure. Prevention of an ailment, it's best recommended at all time. And it's because when damage occurs to the human body system, you know, most of the systems, it just doesn't replenish. Therefore, the damage remains. You know, most that can be done is to preserve the current state we're at and prevent further damage from occurring. And that's why, that right there, I think, is why the best health remedy is a preventative remedy. Health, it's of the utmost importance in life. And with poor health, life is not guaranteed. Life isn't guaranteed anyway, but you give yourself a better chance when you take care of yourself. You know, poor health, it can be painful. I promise you, I can testify. Poor health can be painful because I'm paying for it today. It comes with a lot of discomfort ranging from a bodily pain to maybe some unwarranted, you know, financial commitment or even a mental instability. But at last, everyone is destined to die. If I'm the first one to tell you this, then I guess I can tell you that this Santa Claus doesn't exist and neither does the Tooth Fairy. But these are things we know. As long as we're authorized to live for the meantime, you got to learn to live as healthily and as long as it's within your ability. A person with poor health is always going to be less productive. And when someone's less productive, they're being distracted from their purpose. Remember, why? Health extends to your mental health as well. And that's where we come into that happiness. You know, it's that joyous emotion that arises from the consciousness of self, of well-being, of comfort, peace, tranquility. Happiness is that sweetness in life. Every existing being, they deserve to be happy, to include you. People state their state of happiness, it can be determined by things that are happening all around you, because it usually is. But I think a lot of it really comes from within. Our happiness, I told my wife that I'm retiring. I'm retiring from making her happy, because it's not my job to make her happy. It's her job to make herself happy. All I can do is provide the fodder. I can set it up, but it's up to her to embrace it, and vice versa. That's what I love about my wife, guys, you know, because we had that relationship, that love magic. I'm fat, you're fat, see you in the kitchen. We understand. Now, granted, that shoots my health all in the ass, but you get my point. A person who has proper time management, they have that skill, they have a tendency to be a very happy person. So if you couple it with a person who enjoys an abundance of good health, other factors like achievements and satisfaction, etc., they all contribute to the happy state of mind. And sometimes the happiness, it may not just come to you, but you may have to seek for it. You may have to thirst for it. You may have to go find it, work for it, find it, because it's out there and it's up to you to grab. Love. You know, I think, you know, in this life, you know, a life without love is a worthless life, because that's what life is. It's all about love. Maybe not so much for a significant other, but love of yourself. From the moment of conception up until to the moment of birth, one's already experiencing love. And it continues as such right from the family out there in the larger society. Life revolves around humanity and love. Every human being is a subject of love, and as such, they deserve to be loved. When love is missing, life becomes depressing. Life becomes miserable. Love is what gives you a sense of belonging, a sense of acceptance. And with that sense of belonging, confidence gets built and purpose is motivated. As important as love is, you got to consider, you got to learn to show love. Be open to receive love. A lot of us, we close ourselves out. And my last one out of my Fab Five, and before I let you go, is people. We have to be professional relationship builders. A popular saying goes that we are all what we have. You know, we live our lives for people, and people live their lives for us. We're all we've got. We got to make life worth living. Talk about love. Talk about peace. Talk about purpose and happiness and health. All of those things that are fostered are made possible and enhanced by human beings. Aside being economic tools, human beings are tools of salvation. It's their existence that makes life meaningful. All right, so wrapping it up here, Laura says that I'd forgotten about that. She's talking about the happy teeny tiny Friday. Happy Mental Health Monday to you as well. He says, maybe I'll come on for the next Mental Health Monday. We do it every Monday, every Monday, 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. We'd love to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does it for me. I appreciate every one of you tuning into the show that seeks not only to provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to that inconvenient truth that we all refuse to see. Our happiness is our fault, but so is our misery. And so until next time, friends, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans like yourself, our country would be a very different place. We are the only ones who stand between freedom and chaos in our mind as well. Not just in a physical sense, but in a mental sense. So as always, war fighters, don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, thank a veteran. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. If you see a first responder, give them a high five and a handshake and tell them job well done. God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America. Friends, catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Guys, my name is Philip Blackman. We'll see you on Wednesday as we cover down on reshaping America. We're talking about this whole idea of minor attracted persons. We got to start accepting them. So that's what we're going to be driving into. Guys, my name is Philip Blackman. Y'all take care of yourselves. Lord willing, the creeks don't rise. We'll see you again on Wednesday. Take care.